Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Premier Energies Q3 FY26 earnings conference call hosted by ICICI Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Mohit Kumar from ICICI Securities Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Huda. Good morning. On behalf of ICICI Securities, I welcome you all to the Q3 FY26 earnings call of Premier Energies. Today, we have with us from the management, Mr. Chiranjeev Singh Saluja, Managing Director, Mr. Nandakishore Khandelwal, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Vinay Rustagi, Senior Business Officer, and Mr. Sudhir Mulla, Chief Strategy Officer and Whole-Time Director. We'll begin with the opening remarks from the management, which will be followed by Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Mohit. Am I audible clearly to you?
Yes, sir. Please.
All right. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us today for our Q3 FY26 earnings call. I am Chiranjeev Saluja, Managing Director of Premier Energies, and I am joined today by my colleagues. I'm pleased to say that the company has reported another set of record revenue and profit numbers. Our lines are running consistently at best-in-industry utilization levels, and the order book remains healthy, giving us both top-line and bottom-line visibility. Let me talk about some key highlights of this quarter. We have completed a brownfield expansion, increasing our cell and module capacity by 400 MW and 350 MW, respectively. This expansion has been achieved with relatively low CapEx and shows our team's strong engineering capabilities. Our 1.2 GW G12R TOPCon cell line has ramped up in relatively short time, currently operating at 80% utilization and expected to reach full utilization by February 2026. Similarly, we are working on improving efficiency from current levels of 25.2% to 25.8% by the end of this year using latest process technologies and know-how. This experience will extremely be useful in launching operations of our new 7 GW TOPCon cell line. We are now excited and focused on commissioning and ramping up of our new cell and module lines progressively over the next four quarters. Our 5.6 GW module line is set for completion in March 2026, 4.8 GW cell line in June 2026, followed by 2.2 GW of cell line in September 2026. These capacities would make us India's largest and most integrated cell and module manufacturer with total capacity of 10.6 GW and 11.1 GW, respectively. This would mark an inflection point in our growth journey. I am also pleased to share that work has also commenced on construction of our 10 GW ingot wafer line in Naidupeta, Andhra Pradesh. Our transformer acquisition was completed in December 2025. Transcon is performing very well, as seen in the YTD numbers, with total capacity expected to increase to 16.75 GVA by July 2026 and change in product mix towards more lucrative MVHV and EHV segments. This business is expected to become a key growth contributor for us. Our KSolare acquisition is also planned to be closed in the next one month. Now, I would want to briefly talk about two major themes of interest to the investing community. First, the solar industry has achieved tremendous scale growing at more than 50% annually over the last 2 years, India is now the third largest solar market in the world. This growth in demand is expected to continue, notwithstanding issues like unsigned PPAs and transmission delays. The reality is that we have a very large pipeline of signed PPAs, providing us strong demand visibilities over the next 3 years. The PM Surya Ghar rooftop solar market is seeing huge growth with a record 2.7 million homes solarized in the last 18 months and further 7.3 million installations expected over the next 24 months. Other market segments like the Kusum scheme and open access market are also showing sustained increase in installations. Secondly, the cost environment is becoming more volatile with some input costs rising sharply over the last few quarters. We are able to manage this risk effectively through various measures like hedging, advanced planning, strong supplier relationships, and passing incremental costs to customers. Going forward, we are confident that we will be able to compensate for any cost increases with our increasing scale and operating efficiencies. To conclude, we have a very exciting growth opportunity with growing demand, continued support for Make in India policy, and our focused business strategy. Thank you. We are now open for questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Nidhi Shah from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you so much for taking my question. My first question is on depreciation. This quarter, we've seen that depreciation is halved YOY, and it was only last year in the same quarter that we revised our depreciation policy. So what can this decrease be attributed to?
Good morning. And your questions on depreciation, it generally depends on, you know, the industry policy where we depreciate our equipment over 5 years. In our case, we have taken an accelerated depreciation on our monopurc lines. As we speak today, our monopurc lines are fully depreciated. And you will see further depreciation numbers come up once the new lines get commissioned. I would like also Vinay to share some views on the depreciation and the staff numbers.
Hi, Nidhi. So I think basically what has happened is that we did see an increase in depreciation over the last three quarters because of accelerated depreciation on our old cell and module lines. Now that came to an end in the last quarter. So what you're seeing in this quarter is only the depreciation on our new lines, which got operational earlier in the middle of last year. So going forward, you will see a more, I would say, a sustainable and consistent depreciation trend in line with our new assets coming online this year. The variability will be very less going forward.
And just to clarify, the new lines, they are being depreciated on a five-year basis with industry standards, or will that also be accelerated?
Yes. So the industry standard is basically depreciating all these assets within 5 years, which is what we follow. Having said that, we do continue to monitor the market and the technology trends. And if we feel that because of any of these reasons, there is an earlier phase-out expected, we then tend to undertake accelerated depreciation to transition us to the new technologies.
My next question would be on what is the progress on the capacity addition on the aluminium cranes side? Where are we on that? And what is the capex that was undertaken in the first 9 months of this year?
So on the aluminium front, the land is already acquired, maybe, and the equipment order has been placed. The total CapEx on aluminum is going to be 260 crores, and we expect commissioning by December 2026.
And what is the total CapEx that you undertook in first 9 months across all?
So the total CapEx that you have undertook in the past 9 months you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that is, yeah, please go ahead.
Yeah, so the total CapEx was about 750 crores. That is in relation to our new cell and module lines which are coming up in Sitarampur and Naldupeta. In addition to that, we have also paid, like we have announced, 250 crore rupees to Transcon for the first tranche of our acquisition.
All right. Those were my questions. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Raman KV from Sequent Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes. Good morning.
So, good morning, sir. Congratulations on good set of numbers. So, my question is with respect to Transcon. We have an order book of 190 crores in Transcon, and what will be the execution cycle? One is that, and post the capacity expansion to 16.75 GVA by July 2026, at optimum utilization, how much revenue can we do from this Transcon?
Yeah, hi. The typical manufacturing and order turnaround time for transformers is about 4 to 5 months for the low voltage and inverter duty transformers. Basically you can see that from the total order book vis-a-vis the total annual expected annual sales of the company. In addition, going forward, the company is now venturing into the larger, higher value-added transformers. So there, the execution cycle will be slightly longer. But overall, the transformer business execution and progress is very, very strong. We are hoping that the company will touch a top line of over 1,000 crore rupees in the next 2 to 2.5 years.
1,000 crore top line from only Transcon, right? Hello?
Yeah, that's right. Transformers only, yes.
With the current capacity, or this is including the additional capacity?
With the current and the proposed capacity. See, what happens is the larger transformers, a reasonably, I would say, 6 to 18 month time period for certifications. Winning new orders and deliveries of those orders for the customers. So the ramp up of the new lines will happen over a period of about 2 to 3 years. And that is why I'm saying that the top line will grow to about 1,000 crore rupees plus by FY 28.
Understood, sir. So a follow-up on this. We, as you mentioned, that we are venturing into larger heavy-duty and high-value-added segment in the transformers. Do we have necessary approvals?
By approvals, you mean, all the expansion work.
Customer approvals,
mean certifications? Or you mean certifications? Yeah, that is work in progress, yes.
And do you have a timeline by when you will receive the necessary certifications?
So by July 26, we're expecting the plant to be commissioned. It will take about 6 months post July 26 for us to get certifications in a progressive manner.
Understood, sir. And sir, I just want to understand this 10 gigawatt ingot wafer line. What's the total capex spent on this? And by when are you expecting it to be commissioned?
Yeah, so for the 10 gigawatt ingot wafers, the total expected capex is around 5,900 crores. We are still waiting for the final government announcement for LMM3, as you probably know. What we have announced so far is the first phase of 5 gigawatt implementation, expected to be completed by December next year. For the second 5 gigawatt phase, We would expect that to be completed in December 28. But like I said, we are still waiting for the final announcement and may tweak our plans to suit the market growth.
Yeah, and just to add, in the meantime, the land is acquired, the designing work is started, and the building construction work also has started.
Understood, sir. And sir, my final question is with respect to, are we venturing into any BESS project or like doing CapEx related to BESS project?
Yeah, so we have already announced that on BESS, we are setting up a cell-to-pack and a containerized solution line. The land for this also has been acquired and the factory construction started. We have not announced getting into BESS cell manufacturing as on today. We would want to wait for more clarity from Government of India. They have come up with draft guidelines on localization. Once we get clarity on that, then we would look at further backward integration.
And what's the total capex spend will be spending on this, and what will be the capacity?
So it's 280 crores, and the capacity is going to be 6 gigawatt hour, first phase.
So this is just an assembly line, right?
It is a cell-to-pack and continuous solution assembly and a final solution kind of line where we give containerized solutions to our customers. As I said, that core manufacturing of cell is something we want to go slow on until we get clarity on A11 kind of protection from Government of India. As on today, it doesn't make sense for us to invest on backward integration because the market is still now open to China.
Understood, sir. Understood. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Balasubramaniam from Arihant Capital. Please go ahead.
Let me see what is the related money.
Sir, are you there? As there is no response, I'm taking the next question from the line of Praveen Sahai from PL Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thank you for opportunity. Can you give a detail related to the order book of your, the module and cell bifurcation is there? How is the in the model DCR order book or non-DCR, if you can give some color on that?
Yeah, hi, good morning. So our order book, as we had shared, is, as we speak, about 9.4 gigawatts, and it is a total order value of 13,723 crores, which is going into deliveries up to FY28. Now, we have given the breakup on revenue-wise, that the order book of cells is about 6,800 odd crores and modules is about close to 7,000 crores. Now, we would also like to clarify here that cell is DCR, but when we say module, it is a mix of DCR and non-DCR both. So we evaluate and we consistently monitor how many cells need to be sold and how many need to go into our own production. So our module mix is DCR, non-DCR put together. And also like to clarify that, the nature of this business is such that every quarter, you have an order book and you have customers whom you are selling to, and there is a mix of DCR and non-DCR of sales which happen every quarter. Now, it is very difficult to estimate accurately what your DCR or non-DCR sale would be in a given quarter because it depends on various factors like customer offtake, customer site readiness, and that is the reason that you would see a very minimal tolerance of about 4 to 5% in the overall revenue assumption versus achieved is because if I have slightly higher non-DCR sale in a particular quarter, then my revenue would slightly come down, and so would the EBITDA numbers. Now, what market needs to understand or investors need to understand is that they should be looked upon on a yearly basis and not on a quarter on quarter basis, because this is the nature of the business and it is impossible to predict what would be your product mix at a 100% accurate level. So I think, am I clear to your question or any other follow-up?
No, it's fine, sir. just on the another question that's on the cell cost. If you can give us some color on own manufactured cell, how is the costing and versus the outside you are procuring?
No, so when we procure cells from China, it's a totally different thing. It's not made in India, so difficult to compare a China product and a domestically manufactured cell. And we, I mean, for confidentiality reasons, we cannot disclose our costing for cell manufacturing.
Okay. And lastly, sir, if you can share the capex for a entire, like a 26, how much is the total capex, and 27, how much is the plan for club together of everything, you know, cell model, ingot, even the BSS.
Yeah. So for the current calendar year, our total capex is about 3,000 crore rupees. Part of this is for the new line for coming in Naidu Peta and Sitarampur. In addition to that, we will also incur remaining capex for the Transcom and the K-Solar acquisitions, plus about 280 crore rupees for the BESS project and the aluminium project.
So, Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you. I'll come in.
Thank you.
A request to all participants, please restrict your questions to 2 questions per participant. For more questions, please rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Subramaniam Yadav from SBI Life Insurance. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for taking my question. So I just wanted to understand why our module utilization is flattish QoQ. Is there any delay from the client side, or how is the order book composition, maybe near term, medium term, and long term? If you can give some flavor on that.
Sorry, Mr. Subramaniam, your voice is not very clear. Could you repeat the question again, please?
Yeah. Okay, so just wanted to understand the color on the order book. How is the execution period in the order book? Maybe if you can say how much in medium term and near term, or maybe long term and how break up. Because what we have seen is module utilization is lower this quarter, maybe flattish, if you can say, Q1Q. So is there a delay from the client side for the execution, or is there any other issue in that?
Sure. So let me first address your question on the utilization. On module utilization, we have consistently been between 75% to 80%, and on cell, we have consistently been about close to 90%, except for when our 1.2 gigawatt TCOM cell line got commissioned. Now, these are best-in-class numbers in industry. When you compare on utilization, we are already at peak of utilization, and it's not possible to expand. And as I said, our next 4 quarters is going to be the inflection point. Now, coming to the order book, if you look at the order book, have all the order books which we disclose are all signed, confirmed with advances received. These are not central order book or pipeline which we disclose. These are order books which are signed and up to FY 2028. We are not seeing any delay from off-takers in terms of supplies. It's just that the mix sometimes gets delayed by about 1 or 2 weeks. And if that happens in the last month of the quarter, then that would reflect in that particular quarter, but come back in the next quarter. So that depends on customer off-take in terms of their site readiness, their payment receivables from the government departments they sell to. So there are a lot of factors which, you know, play out.
Okay. Okay, understood, sir. Sir, also just a clarity on the inventory. Maybe at the end of Q2, we had some inventory due to the GST-related issue. So we said some inventory was piled up. So is that completely liquidated now, or how is it the situation?
Yes. So the inventory which was carried forward in September 30th has been fully liquidated. And as I said earlier, that is not showing in the revenue numbers this quarter, because this quarter we had slightly higher non-DCR sales compared to DCR sales, and that was because of various, you know, issues with the customers in terms of their receivables and their, you know, delay in pickup, which is now become very positive. In this last quarter, we have an unprecedented demand for DCR as against non-DCR. So this keeps changing quarter on quarter. So what happens is that, you know, a tolerance of about 4-5% because of this DCR, non-DCR mix is something which we have to live with, and it is the nature of the business.
Understood, sir. Understood. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin Arora from Axis Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for taking my question. First thing, on your slide on the silver, what you put in your presentation, can you dwell a little bit? Because, as you stated that a lot of increase in the commodity prices, you know, the street was also expecting a big decline in gross margins for cell companies, in this quarter, which we didn't see, so far, you know, whosoever has reported. Do you see this gross margin pressure coming up? Because the chart, what you have shown, is showing a very sharp reduction in silver, number one. Number two, what is our hedging policy? Because when I look at your other income Y-on-Y, it's down, but, similar kind of an income I'm seeing in your other comprehensive income, which is a very big number. So is it because of the hedging policy? If you can take first question on these two aspects.
Yeah. So thank you, Nitin. So on the hedging policy, yes, we have, in this quarter adopted a hedging policy, and you will not see any hedging income coming in other income. It is only going to be in other comprehensive income. It's realized it will go and sit in our COGS, right? Now, if you look at our last quarter other income, it was Forex hedge and interest earned on fixed deposit, so funds which were sitting with us in our bank account. Now, most of the CapEx funds have been utilized, and hence you see the other income. The silver hedging, which is the unrealized gain as we speak today, is sitting in the other comprehensive income, and as and when we realize it, it will come and sit in the COGS. Does that clarify your question?
Yeah, I got it. Yeah. And how do you see gross margin? Do you see any impact would be coming in your gross margin, or you think because the contribution to the Monopurc and TOPCon is pretty less and you are hedged? Because we've seen few Chinese companies who's reported their other income is higher than their EBITDA because of hedging. I'm talking about LONGi and all in this quarter. So, can you throw some light on your trajectory for the gross margin because of this?
Yeah, so as you have seen in our results, which we have declared yesterday, there has not been any reduction in other income, as was estimated due to silver. And this is because we have a very strong hedging policy, and we have almost 6 months of silver, which is hedged. Then if you look at also, being an industry leader for the last years in this industry and close to 50 years in cell manufacturing, we have shown on our investor presentation that as technology moved from multi-crystalline to TOPCon, and the wafer size has increased from, you know, 125 millimeter to 182 by 210, the consumption of silver has dropped by 68% in 5 years. And with the advanced technology process adoption, which our team is doing in our plants, we expect a further reduction of 30%. Then we are in advanced stages with our suppliers of silver paste, who are almost ready with copper instead of silver. And we are expecting that to be coming up soon, maybe in the next few quarters. If you look at our operational efficiency because of scale, what we will getting into with the 7 gigawatt cell line, any erosion on margin.
Got it. Sir, just on the other aspect of demand, because when we look at your order book and your cell capacity, it looks like that you almost sold more than half of your cell capacity, which you're coming up. Going by your, and the way you explained that in any quarter, non-DCR could be lower and, you know, DCR could be higher. But going forward, how we should build in now the order intake, because you must be now planning to take orders for FY 2028 second half or let's say 9 months, because if we look at the math, and you can correct me, you are already now sold out for the next 15 months. Can you throw some light segment-wise, how's the inquiry pipeline? Because what we hear from the street and, you know, a lot of people that there will be a big slowdown that will happen. But when we look at all the renewable companies, every quarter order intake has been pretty steady. Can you throw some light segment-wise, how's the inquiry pipeline across IPPs, KUSUM? There is KUSUM C now also, which is becoming very big. If you can take that aspect.
Sure. So let me first clarify to you that our cell capacities are not 50% sold out, they're almost 90% sold out. We are at 3.2 GW, and we have done a 400 MW expansion, which is 3.6 GW as we speak today. And even if you calculate at 90%, it's about a 3 GW of production, 3-3.2 GW. And then, which are coming up in June and September, you would just get about less than one line, one quarter of revenue. If you calculate that and you look at our 6,800 crores of our cell order book, we are almost sold out. We do not have much capacity to sell, and that is the reason why we took up this 400 MW of debottlenecking at lowest ever CapEx of 101 crores, which was a major achievement by our team to you know, get this expansion up and running. So that is on the order book. The second point of yours, that there is a demand. We can very easily sign up orders for the next 5 years for cell orders from existing module manufacturers, but we do not have any reason to do that, because if we do not get substantial advance and the order is not a, you know, final, like a committed order book, it would again not come into our order book because it would be a framework agreement. And that is the reason why we are not going very aggressively. Although the demand, we can sell our cell capacities for the next 3 years. Now, if you look at capacities coming up in India, if you look at certain reports which had come even as, I mean, as early as January 25, I remember seeing a report from Kotak, which said that they estimated FY 2026, 54 GW of cell capacity would be up and running in India. But as we speak today, we are way below 30 GW. And when you look at utilization, we are way below actual production of 22 or 23 GW. Now, we have been telling consistently that cell business is high technology, difficult to run, strong expertise needed in this manufacturing process. It is not as simple as setting up a cell line and running it. It takes time. And this has been proven in the last 14 months, that not as much capacity has come up as was predicted. So we feel that, you know, I'll leave it to Vinay to talk about the demand and the supply side. I think, Vinay, maybe you'd like to add here.
Sure. So hi, Nitin. So I think, you know, we've been at pains to basically explain and elaborate that the demand environment continues to be very strong. We see great momentum in every single segment in the market, and we are seeing that in our discussion pipeline as well. In fact, our discussion pipeline is at the highest number of all times. And we are seeing, you know, and there's a very good, healthy mix across IPPs, EPCs, both utility scale as well as the corporate market and the KUSUM market. So there is a very healthy discussion pipeline, and the only reason we are not able to take more orders is because, one, obviously, we are kind of heavily sold out over the next particularly 6-12 months, and we don't have capacities matching some of the project requirements. So but in general, we want to kind of, again, kind of take the pains to reiterate that the demand environment remains very strong in the sector.
Sure. Just lastly from my side,
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Vora.
Sorry, I'll come back in the queue.
Join the queue?
Sure, I will. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bharani from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Am I audible?
Yes, Bharani. Hi.
Yeah, good morning. So, can you throw some light on how much in watts did we sell this quarter in modules and cells?
So we don't release the actual sales number or the mix between cell and module, but you've seen the production numbers. Production has been quite steady on the module side and has increased by about 86 megawatt for the cell business.
Okay. How much would be the realization on cells for us right now?
So, you know, realization for the cell business is pretty steady in line with the previous few quarters. The market prices are hovering at around 14 to 14.5 cents, but depending on pot size and activity time.
And how about our module realization, both DCR and non-DCR?
So, you know, for the module prices, you know, the prices are very, very volatile given that the cost environment, there are so many changes going on. So, you know, we saw, I would say about, you know, over the last 6 to 9 months, there was a compression in the NDCR market because of strong competition. But then over the last 1 or 2 months, prices have started going up as, you know, we need to pass on our increased costs to the customers. So the non-DCR market prices are back to about, I would say, 16.5 to 17 cents, you know, which is an increase of almost 2 cents in the last 1 month alone. And the prices are at about 23 to 24.
Okay, your voice was breaking. I will take it offline. My last question is on the composition of selling costs in your BOM for module, and how much has it increased because of the silver price increase, and how are we passing it on? What percentage of our order book is like on a pass-through mechanism?
So if you look at our order book, close to about, and if you look at the non-DCR business, since it is sell from China, everything is pass-through. There is no effect of silver contribution on our non-DCR. On DCR orders, as I shared with Nitin, who asked the last question, that, you know, we are working on reduction of silver consumption. We have also shown that in our PPT, on the investor PPT, that what has been reduction of silver over the last 5 years and what is the plan going forward.
Your voice is breaking. If I summarize, you are telling your non-DCR is on a full pass-through basis, and the DCR you are working on a reduction of silver consumption.
That's right. Consumption and also hedging of silver.
Right, but how much would be the percentage cost in BOM for say manufacturing a module right now, and how much was it say maybe 6 months back?
So if I'm giving you broad industry data, so the total silver cost over the last 1 year on a per watt basis has gone up from about 1 cent to about 2.5 to 2.7 cents. So basically there is a net increase of about 1.5 to 1.7 cents on a per watt basis. Having said that, there is no impact on our current business because for our current operations, and I would say up to about 6 months from now, we already have either sufficient stock in place or we have a hedging process in place. So there is no impact on our business over the short run. And I think going beyond that, we are basically hoping to compensate some of the cost increase by changes in the BOM approach, as Chiranjeev outlined earlier, more effective hedging, more, I would say, detailed negotiations with the suppliers, as well as passing on some of the cost increase to our customers. So overall, net, I would say there is very little impact because of the silver cost increase on our margins.
Okay, sure. I will, come back in the case. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kunal Shah from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. One on the order book of 137 billion now. How much of this would be converted to revenues during F27? And simple question here is, factoring in all the commodity inflation or whatever is going on, how would the spreads look like on the execution of this order book versus the current spreads?
So, Kunal, hi, this is Vinay. So, you know, we can't give exact numbers, but I would say about 70 to 75% of our total order book is due for execution over the next 12 months. And sorry, your second question was?
Second was, in terms of execution of this order book, let's say factoring in all the commodity inflation, how would the spreads look like on the execution of this book versus the current spreads?
Yeah. So, look, I mean, in terms of the increase in various commodity prices, silver is the by far the biggest and the most notable increase. You know, if you look at other commodities, you know, the major consumption or expense comes from glass, where there is no impact. On aluminium frames, where there is no material impact. I mean, there are some monthly variations. But if I look at the overall cost trend over the last 6 months or even 12 months, there is no major impact from any of these commodity price increases. Whatever any residual impact is from any other cost increases, I would say is very minimal and is easily compensated by improvement in our scale and efficiency of the overall business. So, you know, to answer your question, I mean, net-net, we expect very minimal, if any, impact on profitability because of increases in any of these material costs.
Understood. This is helpful. Secondly, on the efficiencies that you briefly mentioned about increasing from 25.2 to 25.8, now these levels are unheard of, and are we aiming to sort of implement and execute this over the entire TOPCon line, so let's say 7 plus 1.2 gigs? And also, do you see this becoming a big competitive edge vis-a-vis peers? And are we attempting to improve this through our own in-house R&D team, or there is some tie-up? So if you could just sort of highlight more on that.
Yeah, so the efficiency levels we are talking about are unheard of in India, but in China, these are, you know, pretty normal that they are talking about these kind of efficiencies. And Premier as a company has always maintained leadership position in all areas of cell manufacturing, be it execution, be it capex cost at which we set up our cell lines and efficiency levels which we achieve, and also the ramp up time which we have been continuously improving. And we will be deploying all these, you know, high end technology process adoption on our total 8.2 gigawatt of TOPCon cell line. So it's already getting adopted in the 1.2 gigawatt, and of course it will be replicated in the 7 gigawatt top one cell line.
Understood. And this is all through our in-house R&D team, right?
Yes, it's all through our in-house R&D team.
Understood. And lastly, if I may, when it comes to the order book building during the F27 as a year, in your estimates or estimates, what would be the demand size for where, you know, the domestic cells would be required, and what are the key segments driving the growth? I think you briefly mentioned on the segments, but if you could just quantify the demand size that you are looking at during F27, which will become order inflows for us. Thank you.
So, yeah, hi. So for FY27, the demand for the DCR market is basically expected to come from the residential rooftop solar scheme, where we expect installations of about 10 gigawatt. Kusum scheme, where on a conservative, we would estimate installations of about between 5 to 7 gigawatt. And the open access and the private rooftop market. Now, open access, if you see what has happened in the last 1 year, we see a record capacity addition of about 11 gigawatts in AC terms. So that equates to about 16 gigawatts of DC demand. So across all these three markets, we would expect the demand to be about 30 gigawatts plus for the DCR market in FY27.
Understood. Versus which the current capacity is roughly 24 gigawatt as per your presentation, right?
Yes, but if you, that is the current capacity, but I think the more relevant number is the actual production number. The current run rate of production, as I'm sure you're monitoring, is only about 20 to 21 gigawatt in annualized terms.
Understood. This is very helpful, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashish from InvestQ PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, my questions were mostly related to the industry demand supply, which you just addressed. Sir, is it possible to further take it maybe because most of the players would have already announced a lot of capacity. So how much do you expect to commission based on your experience? Because as you said in the initial remarks that the actual capacities that come on the ground are pretty low versus what the market expects. So is it possible to take it forward maybe till FY28 kind of scenario versus the demand also? Because you said that 21, the demand is around 30, I think. So how does that pan out?
Yeah, hi Ashish. In terms of the supply, look, I think there have been total announcements by something like 45 to 50 companies. If I add up all the nameplate announcements, you know, they add up to something like 200 gigawatts. But the fact of the matter is that there is a very strong discipline being exercised by both equity investors as well as lenders. As I'm sure you've seen, even the government advisory not to fund to the banks and the financial institutions to not fund any overcapacity in the sector. Chiranjeev already mentioned that last year there was an expectation by the end of FY26 there would be operational cell capacity of 54 gigawatts, which the reality is that it will be somewhere between 27 to 30 gigawatts. So taking the reality, which is the financial discipline exercised by the investors, plus the time that it takes to execute these capacities and then finally ramp up production, the actual number we believe will be far, far short of all these nameplate announcements. In fact, we already see on the ground that some people have been calling off their investment plans some people are even looking to exit the sector trying to find a bigger investor for acquisition. So, it is difficult to say as to what the exact number will be, but we expect the number to be not very, north of the expected demand. On the demand side, we are saying that FY26 should end with a total market demand, including the DCR and the non-DCR components of more than 50 gigawatt annualized. By FY28, we would expect that demand to grow to about 60 to 65 gigawatts. So that is the overall demand supply. But, I think I want to also add a little bit of context into the cell nameplate capacities. One, even if some of the capacities come up, the actual production number is expected to lag quite significantly because of the time that it takes for all the new lines to ramp up, stabilize, and achieve the right efficiencies. Second, there are, there's as much as 13 gigawatts of all the monopole capacity, which will need to be eventually taken out over the next 1 to 2 years or be upgraded to TOPCon. So, and we believe that, there'll be moderation in the capacity. And finally, we've always maintained that with the implementation of ALMM2, there is all the focus of the market and the profit pool is basically shifting from the module to the cell business. With the implementation of ALMM3, the same effect will basically move from cell to the upstream ingot and wafer business. So overall, our assessment is that the cell market is expected to be in much more demand-supply balance than projected by many of the analysts. and the focus of the business in terms of scale, investment, and profitability will in any case shift towards ingots and wafers over the next 3 years.
Right. Sir, I think you mentioned the production numbers also. Numbers also, what is the supply in the market? If you could repeat that, FY26, you said some number as to what the supply is likely to be on the cell front.
Yeah, so in the current
27, maybe what do you think like?
So in the current year, the current run rates of production are about 1600 odd megawatts, which equates to about 20 gigawatts of production for the full year.
Right.
And for next year, it remains to be seen which lines actually come up. Obviously, our lines are due for completion between June and September. But bear in mind that all new lines, do take from 6 months to as long as 18 months to fully stabilize and start running. So, the expected production volume will really depend on the timeline of many of these new lines which are expected to be commissioned in the next year.
But roughly, you don't see FY27 where there will be still short supply on the versus the demand. That's what would be the assumption.
That's correct. Like I said earlier, the total demand in the year is expected to increase to about 30 gigawatts plus. Which compares with something like 15 to 18 gigawatts this year, because bulk of the increase basically going to come from one, increase in the residential rooftop installation, and second, implementation of ALMM2 for private rooftop and open access markets. So with the increase in demand, we don't expect any likelihood of oversupply given the expected pace of capacity addition and ramp up in the coming year.
Sure. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chandan from Rajgadia Industries Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. My one question is, last quarter we discussed about the potential of the next quarter for, say, Q3, in which we discussed about three things. One is that GST change, because of that some orders got pulled and was supposed to be delivered in Q3. Similarly, we talked about rain. Due to rain, the inventory piled up and that was supposed to be liquidated in Q3. And then order book, obviously, order book was substantially grown in the last quarter. But what we see in this quarter, revenue jump of 5%, which I don't see is substantially growth considering those three parameters, three reasons which was mentioned in the last quarter. We can get some just around that. It will be really helpful.
Yeah. So, Mr. Chandan, the material or the inventory which was carried forward from last quarter to this quarter has been dispatched, sold to the respective customers. Now, to answer your question on revenue, I would like to make it a little bit more clearer that when we sell a non-DCR module to a customer, when you look at the prevailing pricing levels, it is approximately around 1.4 to 1.5 crores per megawatt at which we sell these modules. When we sell a DCR modules, the pricing is around 2.2 to 2.3 crores per megawatt. Now, in this quarter from October to December, my non-DCR sales have gone up because my customer sites were ready. And my DCR sales had a slight dip because most of my customers had realizations to recover or to get from the projects they had supplied DCR modules into various programs. Now, this mix, if it moves by, let's say, 3 or 4%, this is what you're seeing in the revenue numbers. But there is no impact on margins because the DCR orders which we executed in this quarter were contracts which were signed much earlier and at higher margins. So every quarter, this is the nature of the business, that if you have slightly higher non-DCR business, your revenue will not really show up, but your margins are protected. But if you are a higher DCR business, then your revenues will go up. So that is the reason that you're seeing that, that addition.
I think just quickly on your point about the order book, see the, you know, like we've been saying, a lot of our production over the next year is already sold out. Changes in the order book do tend to be lumpy. So, you know, it is very natural to see big orders in one quarter followed by small, you know, slight decrease in the next quarter. But our discussion pipeline remains very strong and, you know, we will continue to see good order inflow in line with the growth of the business.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sabri from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. So I have just one question. Can you throw some color on the aluminium frame market in India in terms of what is the demand, domestic production and imports currently?
So the challenge on the aluminium industry in India is that you've got enough aluminium manufacturing, but the challenge is on the anodizing side. And there's not enough anodizing facilities available in India for supplying aluminium frames. As of now, there are enough and more aluminium profile manufacturers, but because of anodizing, there is a lot from China, in spite of the duty which has been imposed by Government of India.
What should be the domestic production versus imports currently?
So
it's
phenomenally high. If you talk of aluminium profile manufacturing in India and demand in India, let's say 50 gigawatts, the manufacturing is much, much more than that. The problem is in the anodizing. So in the anodizing, there's not enough capacity.
Yeah, anodizing will be how much then? Anodizing capacity in India?
Yeah, that would be maybe 20% of India's demand.
Okay, and remaining everything is imported from China?
As we speak, but a lot of players, including us, have announced highly automated, you know, aluminium profile and anodizing plants, and we expect in the next 18 to 24 months, India will be self-sufficient on anodizing to cater to the demand of the domestic industry.
So 50 gigawatt of module demand will be largely satisfied from domestic sources in the next 2 years. That's what you are saying, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prakhar from Ambit. Please go ahead.
Oh, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
One question. So when you mentioned, let's say 30, we are already, as we know through our order book, that we are already more than 90% booked in terms of cell capacity. Now, when I see the demand drivers in, let's say, FI27, residential rooftop, custom, etc., I believe these are more distribution-led businesses where you sell over the counter. So are we selling our cell to some of the maybe OEMs, etc., or maybe some of the other companies who will then sell in the residential or custom market?
Yes. So the cells which we sell to are to domestic module manufacturers who would buy these cells from us and make modules which would go into residential PM Suryaghar or also into Kusum schemes. And the order book which we show, we do not take into account our own retail sales, which is close to about half a gigawatt every year. It's about 1,000 crores of revenue, which we do not take in our order book because this is a retail market. And the order which we get every quarter, a lot of the orders are also spot orders or, you know, orders with a short-term delivery period.
So my question linked to this is that given our distribution network also, very strong distribution network, why can't we directly sell our own DCR modules in this market given great demand in custom residential rooftop?
So we, you know, the residential rooftop program depends a lot on the retail network which you have. We work with, you know, we give sales to certain module manufacturers who are very strong brands in the retail segment. We also do OEM for certain customers of ours. So, you know, you have companies which are in the retail segment selling not just solar panels, but selling electrical appliances, cables, home solutions. So these are, you know, kind of, I mean, they have a very, very large network. And that is why we also support those markets through these, channel sales partners.
Okay. And so the second question, very quick one. When we say 7 gigawatt capacity addition, what type of line is it, G12R or G12? Just to understand what would be the effective output available for us, given right now the demand mostly would be maybe M10 or gradually it will be G12R. So what is the effective capacity of the 7 gigawatt?
So we at Premier were the first ones, and as we speak today, there are only two companies in India which are manufacturing G12R cells, and that is Adani and us. We were, you know, early movers to G12R. If you look at China, almost 80 to 90% of China market has moved to G12R, and making M10 is not economical today. And all players which are into cell manufacturing, all new lines will come up with G12R or G12. And the existing players would have to, in any case, upgrade to G12R, which would mean, a dip in production levels and, again, getting the line back into, peak efficiency of about 4 to 6 months. And I think most of the customers are booked on orders of VCR, and at the moment they do not have the time to upgrade, but gradually they would have to. And our 7 gigawatt line is a G12R line. And even the top one, which is operational, is G12R.
I was just saying that, you know, currently, basically the rooftop market and the Kusum market is not, does not make too much distinction between G12R or M10. But from next year onwards, or this year onwards, when the LMM2 is set in place, there's a large institutional market which will start procuring DCR modules, so that is the open access and the private rooftop market. And there we expect most customers to prefer G12R over M10.
And so effectively we'll be maybe 90-95% of the 7 gigawatt would be available for sale.
That's right, yes.
Understood. Those are my questions. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Amit Mahawar from UBS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. Congratulations on stable results. Just one question, and you touched upon this in the previous question. So,
sir, you're sounding a little distant. Mr. Amit, can you please sound a little louder?
Is it okay now?
Better now.
Yes.
Please continue.
Yeah. Sir, see, we have a very, very quicker transition to new technologies in a very short span. But a lot of companies take time to ramp up cell. A large part of industry, you know, is still planning subscale capacity on cell. And then you have China anti-involution, which is jacking up the price for, you know, the end plants manufacturing. Do you think, so what is the level below which the industry profitability, maybe in gross margins and EBITDA margins indicator, you think beyond 28-29, it is unviable for people, because we can very clearly see accelerated, you know, phasing off of manufacturing plants had to be done. And we saw that in China also. So that's the first question, sir.
Yeah, so let's address this question, in two kinds of logics. One is, yes, China has close to about 1,500 gigawatts of capacity, which is almost three times world demand, and a lot of plants in China will close down. Then let's talk about affordability. If you're talking about affordability, solar is the cheapest source of energy today. And if the prices are now coming up because of the anti-involution policy in China, and this is passed through to customers, these were the prices which were prevailing in the market just about 6 to 8 months back. It's just that the prices dropped. So there was a two or three quarters of opportunity which customers had where prices dropped, and China would not continue to bleed. So even if prices come back and they're passed on to customers, and even if module prices go back to, let's say, 17 cents or 18 cents per watt from 14 or 15 they were in about a month or two ago, these prices were prevailing in the market just 6 to 8 months ago. So we don't see a major issue there. And I think Vinay wants to add something.
Yeah, hi Amit. I think if you look at slide number 18 in our presentation, we have basically said, how we compare against many of the newer players who are entering the segment. The fundamentals of the sector are such that it basically lends itself to companies with great scale, backward integration, and using the latest technology. And bear in mind, you know, we are expected to transition from TOPCon to some of the new technologies over a period of about 28 to 29. And we are also likely to see the rollout of ALMM3 in the same kind of time frame. So, you know, any of the newer players with smaller capacities, high debt levels, maybe not the same level of technical competence in terms of running and operationalizing their lines, they are likely, in our view, to basically struggle with having to undertake new technology upgrades and having to backward integrate. So it is possible that many of these companies will basically struggle to sustain the business and compete with the benefit of scale and technology with some of the larger players such as ourselves. So I do believe that we will have a strong competitive advantage against many players, many of the newer players entering the segment.
Yeah, thanks. And one second quick question is the cost of complying or transitioning to G2LR, because this was not the case we realized in last 1 year, but it was very, very specific in last couple of months. A lot of players will have to switch, and then we have further policy coming from government. What is the case that beyond 27-28, the industry demand supply from cell point of view, you know, is very, very favorable, you know, as we, you know, vis-a-vis what we see today? How would you, you know, would you assign a higher probability to that, that beyond 27-28, the industry demand supply dynamics is very, very favorable than it is perceived today? That's it. Thank you.
Yeah, hi, Amit. I think that's a very qualitative discussion. It's always very difficult to see how the market would be in 2 or 3 years' time. You know, I think a lot of the industry concerns about overcapacity are overdone because of the factors we discussed earlier in terms of the financial discipline and time taken, technical expertise required to execute these plans. You know, we don't have to just look at the cell capacities alone. I think we have to look at the fact that the technology landscape is evolving and changing, and the focus of the business is going to shift towards backward integration with the rollout of ALMM3. So I think given that, you know, if you look at how many companies will be able to also successfully integrate backwards, you know, in this short space of time, we do believe that will be only about, I would say, 6 to 8 players who will be successful in doing so, and they will be basically accounting for bulk of the market.
Yeah. Okay.
Thanks. Yeah, and just to add on the G12R, it's not the cost of upgrade, it's the time which it takes to upgrade and then stabilize the lines, which is more expensive.
Got it, sir. Thank you very much and good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Puneet from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much for the opportunity. My first question is on your non-DCR sales, where you said everything is a pass-through. So how do you think about margins? Is it more in percentage terms or dollar per watt peak?
Yeah, I think, hi Puneet. So for the non-DCR market, you know, we obviously look at what is the EBITDA for the business, you know, taking into account basically a BOM and other conversion costs. And overall, you know, despite the competition and the overcapacity in the non-DCR space, we have been able to maintain our margins at very attractive levels. Pass on the increased costs to our customers.
No, so what yeah, I'm trying to understand, yeah.
Yeah, I think
your question order is, book, yeah.
Yeah. So I think the realization what we get is on a dollar per watt. It is not on percentage because it is a pass-through and the cell is fully funded by the off-taker.
Right. So will it be fair to assume that you might also be enjoying the rupee depreciation benefit here?
Yes, sometimes yes, depending on at what contract terms we have with the customer. If the customer we signed up for the INR per watt peak order, then we would not, but if the dollar, we will.
Okay. And you also mentioned that you are seeing profit pools move from non-DCR sales to DCR sales. Has it already started happening? And what would your margins have been earlier on the non-DCR side versus now?
No, so non-DCR sale is just a bought-out item for us, right? I didn't get your question. Could you repeat that?
No, you said the profit pool will start moving from the non-DCR modules to DCR modules, right? On the sales side because,
As LLMs are fully implemented, you would see that by FY 2028, India market, I think 100% would be DCR. It starts off in 26 June, but then it's a gradual phased implementation. The C&I gets implemented immediately, and the IPP projects will come in after the earlier projects which were grandfathered are executed.
Yeah, no, are you already seeing some bit of compression in margins on the non-DCR side, or that is yet to happen?
No, maybe last quarter we've seen a slight compression, but it's now kind of started increasing. Prices have started increasing.
Okay. And lastly, on your cell lines, you talked about June and September. When should we assume that those lines will stabilize?
So if you look at the historical track record which Premier has, we have been able to ramp up lines between 4 to 6 months. And in the top one line, if you see, we are already at about 80% as we speak, and by next month, we'll be 100% of what we can achieve. In terms of plant utilization, it'll be about 90%, but that's the peak at which we have been achieving every quarter. Now, for our new cell lines, we expect the same thing that we will be able to achieve in about 4 to 6 months.
So full utilization for a June line should happen by December for sure?
Yes.
Okay. Great. That's all from my side. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shashank Jha from SB Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir, I have two questions. First one is regarding the effective capacity utilization. Like when you say you will have 10 GW of cell capacity, so how much will you be actually able to produce out of it?
So we have always been very transparent with the market on effective capacity. In fact, if you look at our TOPCon cell line, which we have said is 1.2 GW, we had our ALMM inspection, which got completed yesterday, and as per ALMM, our capacity is 1.35 GW. But we always talk about effective capacity.
So when you said 10 GW expansion, so what will be the actual usable pool?
The actual usable would be 90% of 10, that is 9 GW.
And you are talking about G1/2R cells?
I'm talking about G12R.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah, if I actually take it as a G12, then it will be even higher. But then we also want to be conservative in an announcement that it is a 10 GW line based on G12R, not on G12.
So it will be the like when you said 10 GW, it will be the capacity and 9 GW will be the actual production, right?
Right. After it is ramped up.
One last question, sir. When you expanded like 10 GW to cell, you may have done some demand forecasting that by FY 2029, FY 2030, this will be the usage for cell. So from where you get idea that I have to make my cell capacity to 10 GW? What was the rationale behind it doing this CapEx? I just want to understand that, sir.
Yeah, so I think that depends on the overall assessment of demand supply. Given the bottom-up analysis of the market, we follow all the government policy announcements, the technology developments, and cost of production trends, etc., very closely. And obviously, we also follow the track on the competitive landscape in terms of different players, their execution status, funding status, etc., very closely. So like we have said, we believe that it takes much longer time for companies to actually deliver on their announcements in terms of implementation of their lines and then to finally start production from these lines. So given our view was that the demand supply landscape is expected to remain favorable, we saw an opportunity, and that is why we decided to accelerate the implementation of a 7 GW cell line because we see that we have an opportunity capacity to be able to sell these cells at attractive prices.
Okay, got it. Any plan on moving to electrolyzers?
Yes. I think we have to see how the fundamentals of the green hydrogen market develop. There is obviously a lot of promise. The government of India has a target of 5 million tons of green hydrogen capacity. I think the truth is that the technical and techno-economic viability of green hydrogen business is expected to take another 3 to 4 years. That is why you see the actual implementation on the ground to be very, very slow. We are tracking this market closely. It remains of interest, and we've announced our plans based on our expectation of the market takeoff.
Sir, one last question actually regarding green hydrogen. So one green hydrogen translate to 1 gigawatt, I think translate to 1 million metric ton translate to 5 green ammonia, and 5 million metric ton translate to something around, I just wanted to confirm, 20 megawatt of AC power, right? 5 gigawatt.
That's correct, yes.
So sir, इसमें DC module कितना लगेगा? मेरा ये बोलना है, लगभग I think 70% आपको module लगेगा इसमें, ठीक है? तो वो number दे सकते हैं कि एक million metric ton green hydrogen के लिए कितना DC आपको solar module चाहिए?
So it is very difficult to give a precise number because ultimately it would depend on the kind of renewable project configuration, whether it is solar plus storage or solar plus wind plus storage, et cetera. But I think based on broad industry trends, we expect about 50-20 gigawatts of solar module demand for every million tons of hydrogen capacity. So if the government target is 5 million tons, the total solar module demand could be about 100 gigawatts.
That's great then. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, sir. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhruv from HDFC AMC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. Thank you so much. Sir, one clarification. You mentioned that lot of pricing is also on dollar basis. So is it different for cell and module or similar? And if you can share what proportion of, say, for example, the order book is dollar-based pricing and how much is INR-based?
So about majority, about 80-85% of our order book is dollar-based. There are very few orders which we take on rupee-based. Those are mostly short-term orders. Cell and module both, be it DCR, non-DCR, or be it cells, is all dollar-based.
Okay, interesting. And sir, secondly, earlier in the comments you mentioned that we are seeing some price increases in modules. The industry is taking some price increase probably because of the inflation. But if I'm not wrong, or probably I've not heard, that not much of talk is happening on the cell price increase for the DCR market. So just were curious why, there is a lot of inflation, although you are hedging, probably you will replace with copper, but that also will add to some element of the cost. So why is the industry probably not trying, given the demand supply is favorable, why the industry is not aiming for a price increase in the DCR cells?
So Dhruv, it would depend on the contracts which we have signed. So let's say I find a contract with a customer where there is a vehicle.
Probably for the new contracts, say, for incremental contracts.
Yeah. So again, for the incremental contracts for DCR pricing, we are seeing prices to be fairly stable. In fact, as per market estimates, there was a talk that DCR prices would fall to as low as $0.13, but we have not seen this drop. We are still seeing price realization over $0.14.
No, I'm just trying to understand, given the cost inflation, meaningful cost inflation, silver, although you hedge, but still, assuming the spot remains, the incremental hedge will also come at a higher value. So there is an inflation. So I'm just trying to understand, as industry, as a player, why aren't you trying to push for that cost increase?
Yeah, as I told you, for 6 months, and the supplies beyond 6 months, when they come up and depending on the silver prices as they progress, we would maybe push for a cost increase once that really comes in.
Sure, got it. Perfect. Thank you, sir. All the best. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rushabh Sanghvi from Oak Lane. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my question. I know you mentioned the contribution of silver in a previous answer. Just wanted to know exactly, as a percentage of the total cost of a cell, how much is silver and how has that been trending the last 6 months?
Hi, Rishabh. I'm not able to give you a percentage number, but like I said earlier, the cost of silver, the share of silver has basically gone up from about 1 cent a watt to about 2.5 cents. And we would expect that number to actually start going down with the proposed for reducing silver consumption.
Got it. And I know you mentioned that a lot of the costs that we incur are passed through, especially for cost escalation. But can you help us understand how the price, how the cost of the imported cell has actually gone up, regardless of whether it's passed through or not?
Rishabh, you mean the increase in the non-DCR cell prices?
Yes. Increase in the imported cell prices.
So it's gone up from levels of about sub 4 cents to about 6 cents now as we speak.
Okay, got it. So that, I'm assuming, is the entire thing is just from the silver, what you're saying, from 1 to 2.5. Got it. Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin Arora from Axis Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Sorry, my questions have been answered. Thank you. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bala Subramaniam from Arihant Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunities. So I think we have seen limited tariff impact from ALM to it's almost 0.1 per kilowatt hour for Captio as well as OpenSS. However, I think we have 61 gigawatt solar and 20 gigawatt hybrid projects under development. And what proportion of this pipeline is subject to ALM 2 and 3? And how we are going to absorb part of ALM related cost increase pressure which impact margins? So my first question, sir.
Bala, hi. I'm not sure I followed the full question correctly, but I think the question understood was about basically the split of the pipeline in terms of LMM1 and LMM2. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. Between 61 gigawatt solar and 20 gigawatt hybrid projects, which are under development, that one also.
Yeah. See, I think if you look at the timeline for various auctions, bulk of these auctions were completed in FY24 and FY25, and there has been a massive slowdown in auctions over the last year, basically since the time that ALMM2 has become effective. So I would expect as much as, you know, I'm taking a very broad guess, but as much as 90% plus of the current pipeline would be ALMM1.
Okay, sir. And sir, how we are exposed to changes in domestic content requirement, especially for mandatory 20% for VGO projects, and how this will impact our cost structure?
So I think the movement to DCR and LMM2 is very, very beneficial because we have a fully integrated business and we have our cell lines running at optimal capacity utilization. So this is only going to provide a further impetus to our business in terms of sales as well as margins.
Yes, sir, may I ask you one small question?
Please.
Yes, sir. Sir, I think bigger panel companies are targeting to acquire small solar cell companies. How this industry is consolidating? I think Goldi Solar is acquiring one of the small cell company based out of in Andhra Pradesh. How the industry is shaping up in terms of consolidation?
So I think this is something which is expected to play out over the next 2 years as more and more companies get into the sector. We feel that many companies will find that actual execution and operations is far more challenging, and particularly with complexities around technology, scale, backward integration, etc. So we will see more consolidation opportunities over a period of time.
Okay, sir. Got it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Deepak from Swan Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Good afternoon, sir. So just wanted to check it out in terms of the spread in the dollar terms, given the hike in the raw material, how do we see this spread in dollar terms, whether this would be sustained in DCR and non-DCR both? If you can share your perspective, especially after the 6 months when our hedging for the silver is going to get over.
Hi. So, you know, our margin in dollar terms, like, you know, we have been at pains to elaborate that does remain unchanged because we've discussed the silver price cost increase, we've discussed increases or changes in other commodities. So basically, you know, we are trying to maintain our margins and pass on the cost of increase, any increases in cost to our customers for new orders wherever possible. And the intent is to maintain the profitability and the overall margins.
Okay. So spread in the dollar term is going to be maintained in even in the DCR and non-DCR both?
Yeah, it is dollar term pricing as we had said in both.
Okay. And even for the current order book beyond 6 months also, that will be maintained?
Yes. So, you know, this is too much of speculation. It depends what the silver price is then and, you know, our negotiations with our customers. As far as we are concerned, our goal is to protect the margins and pass on any increase which comes in post our own internal processes to reduce silver consumption.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks a lot for clarification. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will take that as the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you everyone for staying on the call and giving us your time. We touched a lot of ground in terms of the industry landscape and the company's business. I just want to close with a quick, some quick remarks about the demand landscape because I know that there is a lot of concern in this particular area. You know, we have seen unprecedented growth in solar capacity installations over the last 2 years, beating all industry estimates. And that basically vindicates, you know, our belief in the attractive fundamentals of this technology. We believe that growth and demand, you know, growth will surprise us on the upside. Now with the new capacities coming up and the scale increase in scale of our operations, particularly over the next 3 to 4 quarters, we are poised for a tremendous growth in our business, marking an inflection point in the company's journey. And combined with proposed forays into storage, inverters, and transformers, we are set to see an exciting growth journey with combined benefits of scale and diversification. I want to thank all our investors and the analyst community for your continued support and look forward to working with you. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.